even take a 10-year-old boy, you know, 10 years old divided by 2.
Go to commercial. Go to commercial.
Welcome to episode 7 of Two Jews and a Gay. I'm your host, Brian Martinson, along with Spencer Yasmin.
Hi. Hey.
And Spencer, you sound a little raspy. I hope everything's all right down there in Dallas.
It's been a rough week, but I'll give it a go.
All right. We also were supposed to have someone in for the vacationing Jeremy Katz. Derek Green was supposed to join.
Yay!
And I'm going to break with format a little bit to go off on the weekly rant a little early.
Wait, Brian, is Derek here, though? You didn't,
Derek say hello yet. Derek is not here. Derek is not here.
Boo!
And that is the reason for the weekly rant. Now, this rant is directed mostly at Derek, partially at Jeremy. Derek, Jeremy...
Well, real fast, Jeremy again? That means he's a two-time award-winning weekly rant winner.
He is a two-time award-winning.
All right, Jeremy, good job.
Weekly rant. Now, obviously, this podcast is something that really embraces both the stereotypes of Jewish people and of gay people. We have no problems kind of reveling in it. It's part of what we do. But I just want to say, can you guys quit fucking Jewing around and upgrade your goddamn internet? It is ridiculous that we have in this day and age, it's 2012, almost 2013, you are still dealing with what amounts to dial-up connections here. We were trying to do this podcast on Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday evening. Derek was online, ready to go, except for he really wasn't online because he was constantly dropping the connection. It was nothing short of ridiculous. I mean, here he is, grown man, supposedly tech savvy, can't fucking get an internet connection to save his life. He's like,
the comment there, supposedly tech savvy.
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, and then he has the audacity to try to blame Spencer for this connection problem.
Well, to be honest, you both try to blame me, but yeah, he definitely, Derek was trying to be like, Spencer, are you back? Are you okay? Like, all I know is last week, not to interrupt your weekly rant, Brian, but I know last week when Todd, myself and you were on, we didn't have one malfunction. And then the week prior, when Jeremy, the day before when he was leaving, we had this 5 times in the span of an hour lost connection.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, they both make good money. I haven't seen their paychecks personally, but you know, they wear nice clothes, they drive decent cars, they go out,
but they don't,
socially,
they don't maintain
money.
Their nice cars, though.
They don't maintain them, but they certainly have purchased them. And then and they go out, they have dinners, they participate in extracurricular activities, they have money. And the idea that they can't, you know, they drop Showtime, which also I don't get, because, you know, hello, gigolos, why are you not watching gigolos?
Why haven't we started talking about gigolos as a segment on this show yet? Like, I feel like...
Well, because Jeremy got rid of Showtime, so now...
Do you watch
he has
it?
Nothing to talk about. I mean, I've seen episodes.
I've been keeping up with season 2, so, you know, Jeremy could just sit in the background and kind of mope while we talk about it in the future, making him want to get it back on, because
great episodes. Honestly, if I had to choose between them watching gigolos and them having faster internet connection, I would choose the faster internet connection. Like,
ooh,
drop
that's
the
a
extra
one for
$10
me.
A month. It's $10. It's less than the cost of a box of condoms. Fucking up, call Time Warner today, Derek.
But to be fair,
Jeremy,
Brian, I don't think they use condoms either.
Wait on hold for an hour, 2 hours, however long it takes. I'll guarantee you. My experience, when you're calling the sales department at Time Warner, you get through fucking lickety-split. You get, like, they are on that phone like white on rice, and they will gladly take your money, but if you have any problems with Time Warner, you are on hold for what seems like an eternity. That, my friends, is the weekly rant.
Smoke break for you? You need a smoke break?
Well, I need a break or something. It was good for me, though, I'm telling you.
Wow, you went off on him.
Well, I try. But it's very reasonable. I think nothing I said there was inaccurate. It absolutely had to be said.
I understand. You spoke from the heart.
I did. But I will say, Derek, you are still welcome on the podcast. I'm not going to let your horrible time management skills deprive the audience of hearing your insights on both fantasy football and life and love, etc. So you're still welcome once you kind of address the elephant in the room, which is your horribly slow, piss poor internet. With that being said, I'm now going to head it over to Spencer. Spencer, you have your Dirty Talk segment for the week. Spencer, go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Brian. And before I start Dirty Talk, I was going to transition to quickly checking with Derek to see what investigative work he's done into that email we received last episode about Jeremy and Dan being taken. But because Derek's not here,
well,
I think it's safe
fairness,
to assume they've probably been kidnapped and we will never see them again. So, moment of silence.
In fairness, Derek did try to do some internet research, but his internet was so slow, he didn't have the opportunity to find any information out. So.
And rather than call one of us to see if maybe we could lend our, support just Googling something, he just went on about his day. So, to all of those wondering, I guess we may never see Jeremy and Dan again. Which means, on the bright side, we will need a guest host going forward on a weekly basis. So, we will be taking auditions.
I certainly hope that Dan and Jeremy are safe back in the States shortly and soon. We miss them. We love them. We want them back. But having said that, I think it's now time for Spencer. Let's hit a little Dirty Talk.
Okay. By the way, lifetime ban is still intact for Dan for the podcast. Okay. I'm going to start the Dirty Talk off with some some references to last week, some feedback to what was going on with last week's episode. So, we were waiting once Brian was working on it. I wanted to check in with Brian to see what is our status with getting that episode with Todd last week, which, by the way, the most downloaded episode we've had to date. So congratulations.
Although I will say that's a small bar to clear.
Well, but hey, we'll take it. All right, we will take it. I believe we've had 30 to 40 downloads on that one. Just a rough number I've been from talking to people. But anyway, I asked. First, Brian hit me up with, here's what Brian hit me up with on G-Chat. Podcast is done. Had to edit some of Todd's Darth Vader-like breathing. So this is what we were waiting for.
It was really ridiculous. I don't know what he was. Does he have sleep apnea and have one of those like masks that
he doesn't
push air?
Well, he's not taking that yet, but he does have an extremely loud snore. And for all you listeners out there, you didn't hear it on the podcast, but the first 2 minutes in, it was scary because Todd's breathing was extremely loud, and this is like as Brian's introducing the podcast, and I'm just like, there's no way to really kind of tell Todd without interrupting Brian, and I knew Brian would have to go back and do some edits, but like Todd was just like, I was worried for a second. He was just breathing extremely loud. I think he was a little nervous, but anyway, an hour later, we're still waiting for Brian to finish up his edits, and to his credit, he was working as fast as he could. So I chatted with him. I go, Brian, are you still listening? And Brian goes, yeah, had to do a few more edits on Todd's clicking and breathing. So
it's like he was like a 1950s receptionist or secretary with the like huge French manicure nails, just like click, 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 click.
Well,
I don't know what he was doing.
I found out he wasn't clicking on the computer. It turned out he had a pen in his hand, and he was constantly clicking the pen. So definitely, he was definitely nervous. And understandable, it's his first episode. So hopefully when we get him on next time, we can maybe strap his hands down so he's not touching anything. And definitely,
well,
we've got to do
he could also just play with himself. I often do that while we record the podcast because it is very self-soothing.
I do too.
Are you doing it now?
Not this moment. I actually got a turkey sandwich on my lap right now, but after the turkey sandwich, I plan to.
That the mayo has multiple uses.
Yes. So anyway, that was a kind of a funny thing we were waiting on, but we appreciate Brian getting all the edits complete, so you guys didn't have to bear through that. Let's see. Afterwards, after we're done with the podcast, Todd goes, this was fun, and I'm serious if you want me to replace Jeremy as the host. So, Todd made some references that he would love to be on, but he definitely was not joking after the podcast was over. He feels very confident in himself. In fact, once the download occurred, he was able to listen to it. And he G-chatted me. I'm listening. I'm awesome. So he's very, very high on
himself. And he's modest.
Yes.
Although I will say, I was had a little trepidation going into the podcast because, as I mentioned last week, I had never spoken to Todd before, so I didn't know what our kind of energy was going to be like.
Right.
And I have to say, I think it went over really, really well.
It did, you know.
So thank you, Todd. Todd, you are always welcome on the podcast.
I mean, definitely will go down as the most controversial guest host, but definitely the most entertaining one we've had to date. So.
Well, so far, he's the only guest host, so he...
Well, but really, guest...
He is the most... You can fill in whatever that blank is.
But, you know, we've had Nick on. Nick was very solid, you know, but it's like we knew what we were going to get out of Nick, but we really had no idea what we were getting from Todd.
I didn't get nearly enough out of Nick. He still has more that he can give me.
Okay, well, you know... We'll talk to him. We'll see if he can please you some more. And, you know, we kind of had a fake run-through with Derek, so we knew what we were getting there. So out of three potential candidates, I'd say Todd was the most – we didn't know what we were getting from him, basically.
That is true.
Speaking of Nick, listened to the podcast this week. Thank you, Nick. And quick, simple thing Nick gave me as a feedback, Toddy is gold. And that's Toddy with a Y, by the way. Toddy is gold.
He was gold.
He was gold.
And I just say, on a related Nick comment, totally separate comment here. Are you familiar with a new app for the iPhone called Yenta?
No. Tell me about it.
Yenta. Nick sent me this link. It's like Grindr for Jews. You download this app, and I guess it may be only in the New York area right now, but it's a location-aware app that you, on a slider, you know, say how Jewy you are. There's like normal Jew and super Jewy. And what your interests are and things of that nature. And it'll tell you who in the area meets your criteria, what you're looking for, and how far away they are. But, it's actually very
But impressive. Instead of like hooking up, they're just like going to play Mahjong or, you know, they're going to go complain.
They're having some brisket.
They're having some brisket. They're going to go complain about, they just want to meet up to complain about their day or complain about politics, something like that, right?
Exactly. Talk about the Jewish brothers.
Gotcha. Sorry. Having a cough.
So it may sweep the nation. And I certainly hope that they encourage us Gentiles to download it as well, because as listeners of the podcast know, I am a huge fan of the Chosen People.
Well, and we appreciate that. We support that. I'm on the verge of probably getting an iPhone soon. I've been with the BlackBerry family for...
Oh, you need to get off that goddamn BlackBerry.
As we found out on the Vegas trip, I was like a little yent on the Vegas trip. I was like, I can't download Fantasy Football! Please! I had to keep using Brian's phone. I had to keep checking my roster.
And what's really embarrassing is I had to make sure there aren't any revealing photos of maybe myself or others on my phone whenever someone asked to use my phone, because you know... When someone gets an iPhone and they're playing around with it, the first thing they go to is the pictures. They always go to the pictures. They always start swiping through. So it's always a little bit of a – I kind of hold my breath. Like, did I get rid of all those photos? I'm not quite sure I got rid of all those photos. Thankfully, Spencer has not seen anything I don't want him to see, if you know what I mean.
We know what you mean. Last part about last week's podcast was just some of the public's favorite quotes from last week's episode. Some of Todd's friends listened, and they gave some feedback. One from Todd, their favorite Todd comment was on the podcast, "Wait, you're gay?" And when he was talking to when Brian was talking about his experiences. Sorry. And then also...
All right, Spencer's recovering from a cold. That's how dedicated he is to this podcast, folks. He is doing the podcast while being sick, so we appreciate that.
Hey, can we stop for a second, actually? Sorry.
This is comic gold. Come on, Spencer. You keep going.
God, I'm having a heart attack here. Here, can you give me a minute? Brian, can you just hold on a second?
Yeah, but we're still recording because this makes into the podcast.
Hey, you there?
I'm still here, yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
Okay, maybe this won't, because it does sound like you're kind of hacking up along.
What's that?
I said maybe this won't make it into the podcast. Yeah. It does kind of sound like you're hacking up along.
No, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like scratching my throat. Oh, God. Okay, let me get a couple more sips. wrap up these quotes pretty quickly then.
Okay.
Okay. Do you need me a countdown?
No, just keep going.
Okay. And the other quote that people liked was when I said go to commercial in response to Todd when he started talking about a 10-year-old boy. You know, all I heard from him
was a little Sandusky-esque.
It was, and you know, it's like I've heard his dating rule before, the divide by 2 plus 7 years, and so maybe
I have to say, evidently, I have a friend of the podcast, Scott.
Uh-huh.
He's also in Dallas, Mr. April.
Mr. April, woo!
Mr. April, yes. He asked me, he's like, you were unaware of the divide by 2 and add 7 rule? I was like,
whoa.
So evidently it's fairly common. At least Scott knows it.
Well, Todd did say it wasn't his rule, but I could have sworn that was like a cover to protect himself to see how people respond. If he tells that rule and people get disgusted, he could always say, it's not my rule. But you're telling me it actually is a common rule?
It's a fairly common rule. So I have to say, I still think it's very, very valuable. I'm still going to try to implement it in my day-to-day dating.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the groundbreaking revolutionary rule that we thought it might have been this time last week. That's all I'm saying.
But it makes us think, you know. I think
it does make
for us
think.
That
and that's what Todd does. Todd makes us think.
Right. And what I was going to add to it was just, you know, I've heard the dating rule, so I'm not saying I dozed off, but it's like, okay, he's telling it, and then all of a sudden I just hear him say, and you can apply this to a 10-year-old boy. All I heard him say was, you can apply it to a 10-year-old boy. And I was like, whoa, go to commercial. This is, in all seriousness, I was like, Todd, what you do on your time is fine. But when you bring it to the podcast, you got to keep it legit. So, but he explained it, and it made sense to a degree.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I didn't, when I was 10, I was obviously not looking to date. Certainly not women. But you know, if I was, I think it makes sense. I would have looked for someone a little older, an older woman or older boy.
You typically date older men right now?
Oh no, hell no. I tend to veer a little younger as my roommates remind me of constantly.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a thing. Like, I don't have a hard and fast rule when it comes to how old a guy has to be when he's dating for me to date him.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to date someone who's in his early 20s.
Okay.
That's just ridiculous. I mean, I'm paying for everything. I'm not made of money. I just bought a new car.
Wait, you're paid for everything? What, like, just because you're
like
older,
going
you have
out,
to pay?
Going out to dinners and stuff. Because if he's still in college, where's his source of income? Like, I mean, if I want to go to a nice dinner, that's
he could
not,
take you.
You know,
he could take you to like Chipotle or something.
Yeah, but then nobody wants to have sex after having a burrito.
Doesn't like the seventh sub at
it's
Subway
a guaranteed
free?
Disaster, as they said on 30 Rock.
What's that?
No, it's like a burrito before sex. It's a guaranteed disaster.
Oh, okay. So where are you currently dating? What's the age group?
I would date mid-20s to early 40s. That'd be my range.
Mid-20s to early 40s.
Yeah. I guess I'm 37 now. So mm-hmm. I would say, like, you know, someone who's in the, you know, using the divide by 2 and add 7,
yeah,
as we discover, is like, that's 25, 26.
Right.
That's mid-20s.
Okay.
And someone in their early 40s is also, I think, someone totally acceptable. It really kind of depends. Like, right now, I would say that I'm desperate to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, I'm getting to that point in life where I need to kind of decide what it is my life goal is when it comes to relationships. Do I just want to be perpetually single? Do I really want to settle down? What's my goal? But for right now, I'm not in that frame of mind. So I would be more open to dating people and seeing where it goes without necessarily having an end game in mind when I start dating.
Have you found 58-year-olds currently hitting on you?
No, I don't think so.
Because you're there divide by 2 plus 7, you know, so I'm just curious.
I think there's a certain... It would just really weird me out if some guy who's almost 60, because my dad is like 66,
uh-huh,
and that's, I couldn't imagine dating someone who's like 10 years away from my dad's age. It would just gross me out.
Right.
I'm sorry. And I'm sure like there are 20-year-olds who think the exact same thing about me hitting on them. It's like, wait, like my dad's 47. That's just wrong.
Well, you're kind of that big brother I mean, a late Big Brother age, I guess, for them, you know? Like, 15
Yeah.
years isn't, like... Well, it's not even 15 years, yeah. So it's not, yeah, it's not that... That's not that far
No,
of a
I mean,
bridge.
the whole dating age thing, there's a lot of, my mindset is there shouldn't be a lot of labels on things. Like, am I absolutely closing off the possibility that like some super mature, got it together guy in his early to mid 20s comes on to me and is like, "You're perfect. You're exactly what I want. I don't worry. You don't have to pay for everything. I've got means and et cetera," and could actually be my like equal in some respects. Would I consider dating him? Yes. The problem that I have with dating really, really young is it's not a relationship of equals. And I don't think when you're looking for relationships of equals, you have to be equal in every aspect, in every respect. You don't need that. It's not a 50-50 partnership across the board. There's certain things I'll take the lead on, other things he'll take the lead on. And that I just need to kind of balance out to be around an equal partnership. And I
Gotcha.
think that's really, really difficult when you're talking about dating someone who's in their late teens, early 20s, early to mid 20s,
Right.
because they look at you as some sort of authority figure. They give up so much control, and that's not a turnoff for me. I don't want to be someone's like daddy type. That's not
And they're
me.
still going to Chipotle 3 days a week, so I
Which
completely understand.
I don't have a problem with that. I love Chipotle,
Right.
but I also like a nice meal sometimes. I like being able to go to a nice sit down dinner with linen and order a bottle of wine and not have to have him like looking at like,
Wait,
"Oh,
wearing
I'll
linen
have."
or with linen?
No,
What does that
like
mean?
table linens, like a nice dinner, and I don't
You said
want,
linen, right?
linen, table
Oh,
linens.
table linens. Okay. It just
Yes.
That's not something I generally look for at a nice restaurant, but I'll keep an eye out for that. I was just
Yes.
curious.
You don't look for tablecloths at a nice restaurant.
I mean, it's not a must for me. I see bare table, like they don't always have a cloth, but that's fine.
Anyway, I don't want to go on a date with somebody and have them, if we decide to like go Dutch, for example, have him order like the wedge salad and a spring water because he can't afford anything else on
Oh
the menu.
no. I
Which, by the
too,
way, what's up
yeah.
with the wedge salad? Is the biggest crock of shit in restaurants.
Hate the wedge salad. Hate
It's
it.
a hunk of iceberg and some blue cheese.
I
Like, give
will
me a
never
fucking
eat. I
break.
will never eat iceberg lettuce again if I am able to do so. Disgusting. It's not even good for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just pure water.
Ugh.
Is that all we have for Dirty Talk?
No, I have a couple more, but I appreciate
Okay.
the intimate discussion you just gave us. It's very important. As we learn more about you, it's very important. So some other things that caught my eye this week on Twitter, the paralyzed football player from Rutgers, Eric LeGrand, posted a tweet to Lolo Jones. You may remember her, the Olympic sprinter this past Olympics, who was getting a lot of publicity, even though she couldn't even medal, I don't think, in anything.
Was she the one who was missing a leg or something, and they were
No,
concerned about?
no. That's a guy runner. This is like that
Okay.
girl. Her name's Lolo Jones. I really don't know why she was so popular, but they built this whole story around her. Like
Is she
all this,
hot?
she's attractive.
That helps.
I think she's got like a mixture of the ethnicities, possibly.
That
So I
really
think.
helps.
And I think like the two purely
NBC's all about affirmative action when it comes to the
right.
Olympics.
And I think the two like pure black sprinters that like both got gold and silver from the US were actually really pissed with her because you could tell like they interviewed about her and they're like, well, we don't get why she's getting all this publicity. But anyway, Eric LeGrand says, keep in mind, he's paralyzed. He goes, Lolo Jones, want to race me? And she responds, get checked for a concussion. Clearly, you've been hit in the head because you aren't being a track athlete. Now, yes, it turned out she didn't know who he was. I mean, it's a really sad story about him. Like, he got paralyzed on a football field from a head injury. And, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like, basically signed him for a day and everything. But it's like,
Oh, I do remember.
yes.
Yes.
But it's like, why? Like, I wasn't a big fan of her from the Olympics. And it's not like I'm going to have this, like, ultimate disgust for her, but it's just like people like her in general that I just like you're a professional athlete, you got famous this past Olympics, and some random person that you said you didn't even know who he was makes a tweet to you about racing you and you get so worked up about it. I don't know.
Well,
So
that's the whole problem with Twitter in general, is it is a instant reaction medium that really lends itself to needing to fire off that quick response, because I'll be, you know, the whole mindset, I'll be damned if I'm going to let somebody, you know, show me up on the internet.
Right.
So she probably should have, you know, hopped on Google, figured out who this guy was before she fired off her tweet, because I'm sure his tweet was probably meant in jest in some sort of kind of comical way. Of course, it is always
Brian,
possible.
No, I think he intends to beat her in a race.
But isn't he paralyzed?
Yes,
or is he ripping on her ability? Like, is he trying to say, you're so slow, even a paralyzed man could
outrun you? Let's move on. I think you're the same boat as her. Okay, yeah. So that just caught my eye. Another thing that I thought was interesting, last week the Patriots and the Bills played. Tom Brady rushed for a touchdown, and they weren't. They were checking to see if he got in or not. Turned out he did get in. After the refs reviewed, and he's on the sidelines, and the TV, CBS, catches him saying to the Bill fans, fuck you bitches. So, good for Tom Brady, you know? Like, I mean, look, I'm a Jet fan.
I like the competitive spirit.
Yeah, I'm a Jet fan, but, look, if that guy ever wanted to leave the Patriots, that's the kind of guy I want on my team, because he's confident, he's got a savviness to him. I don't know if that's a word,
plus,
but
he's got a smoking
like
hot wife, right?
What?
He's got a smoking hot wife.
That's true. Who will pick on Wes Welker? So I give her credit. another thing this week, Liam Neeson in Taken 2, haven't
which
seen it yet.
Did $50 million last week
killed,
in the box office.
Killed
huge,
it.
Huge.
It got horrible reviews, but that doesn't mean we can't
actually,
see it.
Actually, it did not. Like, I saw Roger Ebert give it 3 out of 4 stars.
Oh, really? Well, like,
yeah,
on Rotten Tomato, it's been getting like 13%. But anyway, Liam Neeson's doing the tour of, like, promoting the movie. And, of course, of all places he should be on is ESPN. What better place for him to promote?
He was on Colin Cowherd, wasn't he?
He was on, like, all the channels for ESPN, basically. That's what they do. They bring someone in, and then they go on all the shows, and they just regurgitate the same thing. But anyway, he was on, actually, SportsCenter, and this exchange was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So Liam Neeson is being interviewed by Mike Hill, one of the sports anchors for SportsCenter. And Mike Hill's asking him about, like, you know, watching the NFL and everything. And Liam Neeson goes, I just started watching football, so I'm still learning. And Mike Hill apparently didn't believe him. So he goes, haha, okay. So what do you think Rex Ryan should do with the Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow dilemma? Liam Neeson responds with, like I said, I just started watching football. And Mike Hill's like, okay, moving on. So, like, and Liam Neeson did it in, like, a very taken way from the first one, where he's like, I will find
like
you,
I said,
and I will kill you. Like, it was like, he seemed very pissed off, and he was just like I said, I just started watching football. And, like, Mike, you could tell, like, they were like, move on. Why do we even bring this guy? I mean, he's a soccer guy. He even points that out. He just started watching the NFL. So, thought that was an interesting exchange. ESPN will probably have to do more background
checks. Also,
checks.
Here's the thing. Who the fuck gives a rat's ass what Liam Neeson thinks about Tim Tebow, Mark Sanchez? It's
everyone's
one of the
dying
stupidest
to know,
questions
everyone's dying
on
to know.
The planet.
The guy, everyone's dying to know. I mean, he fights wolves. He goes to Europe to save his daughter. I mean, there's nothing this guy can't do. It's clearly,
except for comment on Tim Tebow and Mark
Sanchez.
Right,
he just started watching football. So I thought that was funny. Lastly, the last things I wanted to do. Oh yeah, there's actually two. I was preparing for the inevitable of having to play Russell Wilson this past week, and I just wanted to check the prior week to see what is Yahoo thinking about him. And you know, Yahoo, when you click on a player's name in fantasy football, they give like a Yahoo's matchup rating for the upcoming week. So Yahoo's matchup rating for Russell Wilson was this. Beatable matchup, but they continue to hide him, and he looks like he's 9 years old. So, you know, I appreciate the beatable matchup part.
Be careful,
I appreciate that
Todd
they're
may, try to give him the dating rule.
What?
Todd may try to give him the dating rule.
Right, right. I appreciate the matchup, you know, critique and everything about they're not letting him pass the ball. But I don't get why him looking like a 9 year old really plays into how I should go about if I should play him or not. So I thought that was an interesting thing. Lastly, was preparing Derek for the upcoming podcast that he was supposed to co-host with us. And I asked Derek, So, did you sweat, bleed, and ooze over this work that you, the segment you were going to do this week? And he responds, I spent a good hour of my time. So, you know, that's okay. He spent an hour, but as you can see, here's the end result. He's still not even here. And the last thing with Derek was, you know, we had him on Tuesday, like Brian said. We were getting ready to do this, and we were going through the agenda, and we kept referencing things we want to do from the previous podcast that we want to bring up. And there seemed to be a confusion, wouldn't you say, Brian, with Derek? Like, he's like, huh? What do you mean? Like, certain topics?
Yeah, and, like, we would reference parts of previous podcasts.
We always do that.
Which he claimed that he would listen
to. I asked him, so Derek, I go, Derek, do you listen to the podcast? I just asked him point blank. And he goes, yeah, some. I mean, it's a lot of work to download them. I'm not exactly sure.
No, it's not. It's the exact opposite of work. If you subscribe to them in iTunes, iTunes does all the work for you.
Yeah, I just like that.
You could not be further away from work if you tried. Now, granted, it is entirely possible that his really slow internet connection means it takes a whole week for a podcast to download.
But I think we caught him in a lie. I think that was the important thing there, is we caught him in a lie where he's like, yeah, some of them. And then that was, he's like, think of an excuse. They're really hard to, you know, it takes a lot of work to download. Come on, Derek, pull it together, man. Come on. And those are your Dirty Talk quotes of the week.
Well, I appreciate that, Spencer. You know, Dirty Talk's a very popular segment, and I see no reason why it won't continue to go on with the great quotes that you've been able to pull up so far.
When stupidity's out there, I will find them.
And trust me, I'm sure I will contribute some to Dirty Talk going forward. I want to thank one of our most steadfast contributors to the podcast, someone who takes his responsibility to the podcast very seriously, unlike other people who make promises and don't deliver. But with that being said, I'm going to now introduce Mikey with the picks of the week.
Hey everyone, members of the Two Jews and a Gay podcast, we are back with another week of Magic Mikey's picks of the week. Just want to remind you all, we went 2-1 last week with that nice Colts upset over the Packers. Got three games this week to choose from. Listen up, you'll be a winner. First one, Browns +2 over Cincinnati. They're 2-2-1 against the spread in their last five, which is pretty good for a 0-4 team like the Browns. Showed some great signs against the Giants last week, jumping out to an early start. And if not now, then when. Interstate rivalry game always brings out the best. Browns +2. Next game, Seahawks, 3.5-point underdogs at home against the Patriots. They are too good of a team at home to be a dog. They're 4-1 of their last five at home. Coast-to-coast travel for the Patriots always is tough. Taking the Seahawks at 3.5-point dogs. Final game of the week, Broncos over Chargers. Peyton Manning, Monday night, North Turner. Enough said. Just a quick recap. Browns +2, Seahawks +3.5, Broncos +1. Have a good week. See you all next time.
And we are back. Thank you, Mike, for those picks. Spencer, I'm sure you'll have some things to say about them. Probably that they're horrible, right?
Again, why does he keep picking teams that are on bye weeks? I don't understand.
I know last week we did not touch a lot on the recaps from the previous week's fantasy football action. That's going to be fixed this week, mainly because I completely destroyed Eric in the game. He didn't even clear 100. So let's quickly go over the matchups that we had this past week as we kind of head into this upcoming weekend's actions.
Halfway point,
yeah. This is where we kind of hopefully start getting some separation. I'm hoping for a nice two-game winning streak. I do play Nick this week, although he scored some points Thursday with Pittsburgh's quarterback and wide receiver, so I'm a little nervous, but I'm hoping I can continue the momentum. So let's quickly go over some of the games. We have the first game we're going to go over is my game against Eric, Yearning for Yucks versus the Gerson Black Express. What can I say? Complete, total, and utter domination of Eric by me, led by the incomparable, the amazing Reggie Rain, 38 points. I even had off nights from both Gronkowski, AP, Tom Brady, didn't matter, just totally killed it, 156 to 95, Great game. Spencer, what are your thoughts?
I mean, your team exploded. I'm sure you're hoping that you can just, you know, something like Reggie Wayne, obviously you're not going to get a 40-point outing like that every week, but it's promising that you have a legitimate number one with him. Demaryius Thomas looked excellent. And, yeah, you did it with Peterson not really lighting it up. So, overall, your team is it's pretty stacked, no doubt about it. You have a good 1-2-3 running back punch. You know, wide receivers at maybe at the beginning of the year were going to be a little suspect, but if they continue to play this way, they might be, if not on even ground with other teams, maybe one of your stronger aspects. Big concern for Eric, though, you know, continues to be the Matt Schaub thing. You know, he'll have a good game here and there, but, you know, I was watching that Jets-Texans game, and they don't it's like they throw the ball, but they don't, like, they don't light anybody up. I mean, the Jets are a great pass defensive team, so get me wrong. I just don't think Andre Johnson has any explosion anymore. He's not a number one, and I think I won't be surprised if at this year's NFL draft, if they go try to get like a top wide receiver in the draft, because they have no one to throw to. Their tight end Owen Daniels is probably their best passing mismatch. They have guys like Kevin Walters, Andre Johnson. I mean, they're like possession receivers at this point. They don't stretch the field, and I kind of feel like the Texans are almost being set up, as great as they've looked, I feel like they're going to be set up to face a team that really shuts them down with the run game, and they just can't throw the ball.
Yeah, I think that's a definite concern. I think as far as this goes for Eric, he needs to find a solution at quarterback. And I know he's talked to me here and there about some possible trades he's trying to make to get a better quarterback. We'll see what happens. I think he needs to pull the trigger in the next week or two, because Matt Schaub long-term is not going to be the solution for him.
Did you notice who he cut this past week?
No, I did not. Who did he cut?
He cut his sixth-round pick, Payton Hillis, the fourth running back he took in the first six rounds, who I was a strong critic of, you know. And I brought this up. That is a luxury pick, Eric. You didn't need to get him, and now you got rid of him. You know, you try not to get rid of your sixth-round picks halfway through the season, but that is the end result of, you know, maybe a quarterback would have been a better option there. Just saying.
Yeah, I think you can make a compelling case. Let's move on to the next game, and that will be Crazy Joe DiBola versus Mother of Dragons. What can we say? Megan, once again, this is another domination game. She, with 167 points, has scored, that's the highest point total for the season so far by any team. It was a complete and total ass-whooping. Nothing, and the problem is, like, you know, obviously Jeremy's team sucks. There's not much more lipstick on a pig you can put on this thing. As long as Vic is his answer at quarterback, he's going to have feast or famine kind of games. But even if all his, like, there's just no scenario where you could see his team going off. CJ Spiller with Fred Jackson back is kind of relegated to getting, you know, he got 2.4 points. That tells you all you need to know about what you can expect from CJ Spiller as long as Fred Jackson is playing. It's tough for Jeremy. I don't see where he goes from here. And as far as Megan goes, like, wow, just really firing on all cylinders. Had Colston go off. And the funny thing about that, Colston was supposed to be one of those wide receivers that was very sketchy for her. I mentioned it, like, I had Colston last season. Not someone that I could count on. But so far, he's been lighting it up the past couple weeks. So, good work, Megan. I'm really impressed with your team so far.
Yeah, you know, her team is definitely going to be there till the end as a competitor. I'm not sold on Colston just because I think so many people have been burned by Colston in the last, you know, three or four seasons because he's labeled as the number one wide receiver on the depth chart. But it's just Drew Brees, and it's almost not to say Colston's not a good receiver, but Drew Brees does not discriminate against his wide receivers. He gets everyone involved, and so, I mean, it's great that Colston had a huge game, but I don't know if she can always count that she's going to play him every week, to be honest.
Especially when you have Ronnie White
and A.J. Green, I don't think there's always a guarantee that she's going to play him just because.
True. Look at it this way. Colston could have tripped out of the tunnel and been out for the entire game, and she still would have won.
Oh no, I think her team is, look, her team is great. Did not get a good game from Roddy White, and you consider what was done. And now you're starting to see Peyton Manning come into his own. He feels more comfortable, and you can expect him, I think, going forward to get you 20 to 25 and sometimes those upper tier games of 30 points. That's what you want of your quarterback. On the other side,
the only concern I have about Manning is it's October, so the weather's not been a factor so far. He's played most of his career in a dome. Let's see what happens with Manning come November, December, when Denver is not exactly a warm weather location.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see what happens. I agree.
I mean, look, the Denver games have been on TV pretty much all of them so far this season. You can just tell, he's efficient. Their defense is not very good. It's similar to the whole Colts scenario the last couple of years. It's like he's going to have to continue to throw the ball in order to keep the team in it. So, and the run game has actually picked up, which is a good thing for his passing. All that can do is help his passing game by causing another defender to stay in the box so he can stretch the field. So I think Peyton Manning, he might not light it up with like a 5-touchdown game this year, but I think when she goes up against like a Drew Brees, you with a Tom Brady, you can hope that you can count on Peyton Manning to keep the gap of separation in the fantasy points within 10. And I think that's important with a quarterback. On the other end with Jeremy, he knows it. We all know it. But, I went into the season thinking if Vic plays to what he did 2 seasons ago, this could be a really dangerous team. He is not playing to that. He is just a turnover machine. I read an article this week that he's walking around the training facility holding a football, and all the players are trying to strip the ball from him. I mean, what is this, the movie The Program? Come on. This is ridiculous. He is a professional quarterback for 10 years now in the NFL. He shouldn't be having these type of fumble problems that he's having. Well, but that's the thing. He doesn't know what he's doing out there.
Other than Forte, look at his team. Who on his team, gives you a
Charles has been really good this year.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Charles has been great. So he has basically 2 good running backs, and that's it. Steve Smith, Malcolm Floyd. He picked up Jeremiah Gresham because Pettigrew was on bye, but neither of those two are, flutter.
Pettigrew has actually been getting the second most targets on the Lions this season behind Calvin Johnson, or he's tied with Nate Burleson.
Yeah, but the Detroit offense has not been clicking. So that's being the second best house in a bad block. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's great that he's getting the second most targets.
No, but I'm saying
Get the production. Where's the production?
Pettigrew's been putting up, I think, between 8 to 12 points every game.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I guess the thing with Pettigrew is he hasn't really been getting the touchdowns, but he is a high volume of targets, which is important. His big concerns are he's got Miles Austin, who he's a good receiver, but I don't like Steve Smith. I don't like Malcolm Floyd. I've never really been a Malcolm Floyd just doesn't do anything for me. Steve Smith is a big play or bust type of receiver, not a guy that I want to roll out there every week hoping as my number one wide receiver. So it's definitely a concern. The early hype on C.J. Spiller, he still has some potential, but I think the problem for C.J. Spiller is more the Bills' defense. If the Bills' defense continues to be this horrific, he's not going to get as many touches. They're going to be behind. I'm sorry?
Because they're not going to have the ability to run. They're going to be in
exactly.
A pass
so, I mean, I think the talent is there for C.J. Spiller, but I think
absolutely.
The team is so bad defensively that it limits him. And, it's kind of the same thing with Charles.
He's also in a timeshare with Fred Jackson. He's really only a phenomenal start, in my opinion. If you think he's the Bills are gonna be close in a matchup and need to kind of timeshare a little bit with Jackson and
right.
he'll get some touches.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be a risk to play him as long as Fred Jackson's healthy. I completely agree with that. So, and I mean, I think it's safe to say at this point, Michael Vick is not the guy that caught everyone by surprise 2 years ago. He's not running the ball. He's not getting you really those running statistics that you got 2 years ago. And he's just like I said for. What he does every game now, he is guaranteeing you a negative touchdown. He's averaging 3 turnovers. So he's averaging
one, whatever you do touchdown wise, you're gonna have to subtract one because of what he's doing, and you just can't, you can't rely on that on a weekly basis, you know. So he's got a lot of, I don't know what he's gonna be do, but he's gonna have to kind of shape his team up, perhaps explore some trade options with his, you know, he's got a good running back set between Charles and Forte. He might have to consider expending one of them, you know, spending on one of them to get something back, you know, to kind of solidify the rest of his team. We'll have to see.
Completely agree. Let's move over to Wayne Corbett versus NYC, Mikey versus Adam. Congratulations, Mikey. Our
close game.
Only,
closer.
Closer. Only undefeated team still. And you know, and he did it on the back of Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall beat me 2 weeks ago, and basically beat Adam this week. He had solid but unspectacular performances by, you know, most of the rest of his his team. But you know, congrats to Mikey. I think he was definitely helped by the fact that some of particularly Tony Romo was on bye. And Fitzpatrick only got him, like, got Adam 2.3 points. So, you know, what can you say about that?
Who does Adam have as a starting quarterback? It's Romo?
Yeah, it's Romo.
Yeah. I mean, Fitzpatrick is definitely a good backup to have from a fantasy standpoint, but
yeah, but
it's
a
risky,
horrible,
well, I was going to say,
horrible
it's
matchup.
A risky game to put him in.
Against
San Francisco. And I think it may have done him justice to explore what else is out there. I haven't done enough research to see what else is out there, but it's definitely a risky play because the Niners, I mean, having seen how they played against the Jets, I mean, the Jets offense really struggled going into that game, but even during the game, you could just tell, like, they just can't, the Niners were confusing the Jets, and I feel like...
You mean the Bills, right?
Well, I'm talking about the Jets the week before. The Niners were confusing the Jets, and I just felt like, say what you want about Sanchez, but the point is, Fitzpatrick is a high-volume turnover guy going up against a defense that thrives on turnovers. That does not equal a winning equation, so...
Completely agree. So, yeah, let's move on to the next matchup. And that's Colson's Dream Team versus Bane. Congratulations, Spencer, on your victory against...
Oh, phew.
I mean...
Didn't want to lose to the guy, you know?
Well, especially, like, okay.
Your team struggled, you know, too.
Your team did... You're actually, I'm going to say this with all due respect, you were very lucky to
face... Oh, absolutely.
You were very lucky to face Keith because, you know, the question I have for Keith is, I know he has a new job. It's probably consuming a healthy amount of his time, but... It's not as if Lance Moore was a game time decision
right,
and was out. He was marked as out since I think like Thursday night. There's absolutely no reason for that spot not to be filled in with somebody. Like, yeah, he didn't have another wide receiver on his bench to put in.
Right.
That wasn't on bye, I don't think.
He got to go out and make a move. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, like, you know, both Hicks was injured. Moore was on bye. I get it.
Is
but,
Lance Moore that valuable that you don't risk dropping him and picking up? I mean, you drop him, or you drop
exactly.
Someone. You drop someone. You can't
he has two kickers. He has like Nate Keating, who's injured, on the bench.
Are you serious?
Drop.
I didn't even realize that. Then
yeah,
At the end of the year, we're gonna look back. I think we're gonna try to do a little segment where we talk about the worst transaction or decision making of the year. You know, we have some that are already in the lead, but this one might go up there. I didn't even realize he had two kickers. I mean, come on. What are you doing?
And I have no problem with carrying two kickers if you really, like, I for example, this past week, picked up St. Louis's kicker. I can't pronounce the last name because it starts with a Z.
Z-Dog.
You know, yeah, but he's like Greg the Leg or whatever.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be just like a phenomenal talent
right.
When it comes to a place kicker. So I picked him up. I spent $2 of waiver money to pick him up, and I will probably hold on to him when he's on bye and pick up another kicker as a placeholder because I think he has potential to be like my answer at kicker.
Yeah, but not Nate Keating.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially not when you're sacrificing a roster spot. You know, it's just...
Exactly. Especially a roster spot where you know, where you absolutely are certain that the person's not playing. It's not like, oh, he may not give me the production I need. He's going to be a fat goose egg in your starting lineup. You need to get him out for somebody.
Yeah.
Some points are better than no points. And I'm not saying that he would have gotten 15 points and or 18 points and have, you know, carried you to victory, Keith, but he would have at least made it close.
Yeah. His defense carried him. His defense gave him a shot. You know,
yeah,
Bears
absolutely.
Got two interceptions for touchdowns. And, you know, I got to say, I mean, I am fortunate. You know, I'm just disappointed. Like, I look at my team, and it's stacked. You know, it is a very – not that – I don't want to say stacked in the sense that these are guys that are going to light up with touchdowns, but just very efficient, productive guys. And really, like, Jordy Nelson has just been a disappointment this year. I mean, the whole Packer team, obviously. But it's just – it's been disappointing because, you know, seeing what Jordy Nelson did last year – I mean, I think there's a whole issue with Jennings not playing a lot, so he's becoming the number one focal point, getting that number one defender on him. But, you know, Jimmy Graham, my team has suffered a lot of unfortunate injuries early on in a game. This year, Fred Jackson early on in a game, Reggie Bush early on, and then Jimmy Graham this week early on gets an injury. And I feel like that kind of, in a way, kept this game closer than it should have been because, I mean, Drew Brees went off for, what, 4 touchdowns? 3 of which went to Colston. I got to believe Jimmy Graham would have been a part of that equation a little bit more had he not been injured so early.
Absolutely.
But
and your defense hasn't really stepped up.
Defense, I mean, and kicker have been horrendous. And, you know, I actually dropped Crosby this week just because, you know, it's a kicker. That's what I'm saying. It's like we're talking about kickers. You move on. Like, I'm looking for production. He might finally bring it. But you know what? I don't have time to wait around. Games have been getting too close that I've lost due to poor play from a kicker, and I can't allow myself to lose games because of a kicker. So definitely have to make a change there. And defensively, yeah, it is a little disappointing to see that the Eagles have a good defensive line and they're not really generating kind of the sacks and the fumbles, the strip fumbles.
But here's the thing: the sad thing is your defense only gives up 16 points,
right,
which by, you know, any actual metric in the real NFL, giving up 16 points as a defense is phenomenal. That's great. That should win you most games. But in fantasy, it got you 1 point.
Yeah.
Because there were no interceptions. There were minimal or no sacks. I mean, it sucks.
Defense is a very, you know, it's a mystery. Like we've been saying, you know, you don't really want to, even though people think they know, they really don't know when it comes to drafting. And that's why you just don't waste a high draft pick on a defense. And yeah, it's going
to
be a
paying off
see.
To some degree for Eric right now.
What's that?
We'll see. Well, it's paying off to some degree for Eric right now. I mean, he does get some pretty consistent production.
I did not call out Eric. I don't know where that came from.
Well, you called him on episode 1.
I know. I'm just joking.
So I'm just referencing.
I was giving Eric a break with the lashing for a second.
I was referencing, you know, just in case Derek doesn't listen to the podcast, he can reference the fact that we mentioned this in episode 1.
Right. There you go. Good point.
All right, let's move over to Dan versus Chris, the no-no-no versus Tom Brady's bunch. Oh, Chris. It's just what can you say about Chris? He's Arian Foster and a bunch of meh is what he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we haven't hit every team right at the beginning of the year, which is obvious, you know, injuries and transactions. But I feel like we were pretty dead on with Chris's team from the get-go. I mean, it really is, like you said, Arian Foster bust. Cam Newton, you know, I expected Cam Newton to struggle. I didn't think to this extent. I thought he'd still have the running production. But I guess that's what you're starting to see with these kind of quarterbacks. They have this 1 year, like a Michael Vick, where they kind of explode on the scene with the running and the passing. And then year 2 and 3 in a scheme, they kind of have to tone back the running because they're going to get themselves killed. And, you know, I think RG3, after his concussion this week, is going to have to start toning it back too. So it's something to consider when you draft a mobile quarterback is how long will this running production last for? Will it go from year to year? And right now it doesn't look that way.
And, you know, Dan should be congratulated. He's 4-1. He was lucky to get to face Chris. Everyone who gets to face Chris should consider themselves lucky. You know, he had some unfortunate breaks, RG3. He left, you know, 3.73 points. That's obviously not what he wants to be getting every week. Ryan Williams is on the injured reserve. He has some injuries. I still think that Dan's team is deep enough, especially with his wide receiver crew, that he's going to be definitely in there towards the end, definitely going to make the playoffs, is a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs. So I still congratulate Dan on a very solid first part of the season. 4-1 is a great place to be at this point.
Just got to win. That's it. Just got
to
win.
Yep. Just got to win. Let's move on to the last game, and that is Rivers Angry Juice versus Intentional Pounding. Poor Nick. His team has really
maybe this is
not...
when we got wrong a little bit.
Well, I think it just shows that the curse is alive. Like, any time that Jeremy thinks that you had a really good draft, you should probably jettison your entire team and try to redraft.
Well, and to be fair, in like when I was giving my review in the episode one, I did say, like, I think he did well as far as drafting what came to him, but I could see him not even making the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised, just because if some of these guys just start stinking it up and they all do it at the same time, there's not going to be a lot of production. And I think that's what you're kind of seeing here is the production of guys that maybe we thought would have been solid contributors. It's not producing, such as like a Mike Wallace. Now, this past Thursday, you know, he had an 80-yard bomb, so maybe that's going to help Mike Wallace going forward. But Mike Wallace really hasn't been electric. You know, you look at his running backs there, Sean Green, Jonathan Stewart. I know he has DeMarco Murray it was on bye, but nothing inspiring about Sean Green or John Stewart, especially to have both those guys play at the same time. Pierre Garçon, you know, kind of a mystery coming from Indianapolis, you know, like, oh, is this guy, we think he's going to be RG3's go-to guy. He's been struggling with injuries, and you can't discount injuries. You know what I mean? You can't. Yeah. He was somewhat injury prone in Indianapolis too. You can't say, well, if this guy wasn't hurt, he'd be doing it. That's part of what you have to think about is this guy is hurt a lot. So it's a tough roster right now to really say, you know, do you feel confidently he can turn it around with?
And you know, and as far as Derek's team goes, he has some solid blocks of to make a good team. I mean, he has obviously Aaron Rodgers. Even though the Packers have struggled, Aaron Rodgers is still going to pretty much consistently get you 20 to 30 points week in and week out. Hard to really complain about that if you're looking to build a roster. Mm-hmm. Percy Harvin has been amazing this year and just been tearing it up. So great pickup there. Ryan Matthews, so long as the China porcelain doll doesn't crack, you know, I still have my questions. But he definitely seems to have put Jackie Battle back in his place, which is ironic because Derek played Jackie Battle in the flex and got a whopping 2.7 points out of Jackie Battle. So
guy loves Jackie Battle.
He loves Jackie Battle.
We were going to ask him on the podcast today, what is up with his obsession with Jackie Battle? But as you can see,
yeah, I mean,
not able
but
to.
I say, you know, Derek has a solid if unspectacular team.
I also will say with Nick, you know, you were talking about Eric's probably exploring quarterback options. I got to believe Eric and Nick are discussing Stafford or Roethlisberger type trade. It makes sense for both of them to explore that. I'm not encouraging it, but I got to believe they must be discussing the possibility of that because, you know, that, you know, when you draft two pretty upper tier quarterbacks like Nick did, that can kind of be your lifeline. Is like, okay, my team is struggling, but I have an I have a chip here to trade, and I got it. You know, I think the longer he waits, it's going to do him no good when the season gets out of reach. So I got to believe something's going to happen soon with that.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Nick is at 1-4, he needs to make a trade in the next week or two if the trajectory continues, where he, like, I certainly hope he loses this week because I play him. if he loses this week, he'll be 1-5. It's very difficult, though not impossible, to come back from a 1-5 start to make the playoffs, particularly in this league where, you know, there's going to be, you know, Mikey has already told me, I think he's 2 wins away from securing a playoff berth, because when you're undefeated, it's quite easy. But he needs to definitely make a move in the next week and a half if he has any hope of salvaging a season, in my opinion.
Well, and I think a concern for him right now is his point total. You know, a lot of times you end up at the end of the year tied with people with the same record, and the tiebreaker is then your points. And he's dead last in points. So
yeah, and right now I am second in points.
Thank you. Did everyone hear that? He's second. I don't know if everyone
I'm just a scooch above Megan, 602.53 versus 602.2.
We're all very happy that you brought that up. So anyway, the point is he's got to make a move, and he does need to make a move quickly because he's got to generate more points. Forget about just winning. He's got to get more production on a weekly basis, or otherwise he might finish up with, you know, let's say a 4-8 or 4-9 record, and maybe he tries to get in that 8 seed, but he has the lowest points out of two people holding the same record as him. So
yeah, he definitely needs, conservatively, I think he needs to start winning and start winning with 130 plus points per week.
There you hear it, people. Math man right there.
That will, if he can start doing that consistently, then we'll start talking about Nick and in the playoff hunt.
I agree.
So other than that, I think that's all six matchups. And is there anything else that we really need to go over? I think that was pretty much about it, right?
I think so. Not bad between you and me. Good conversation.
No,
I really enjoyed the. The talk about your personal life.
I'm happy to open up whenever. I also want to thank Spencer for being twice the Jew. He was extra Jewy this week.
Never disappoint.
I, however, was.
Wait, hold on a second. Matzo ball soup, please. No, a potato knish too. Sorry, I'm at the deli. Sorry.
All right. On that note, for the vacationing Jeremy Katz and Spencer Yasmin, I'm Brian Martinson, and we will catch you next time.